This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we're finishing up with Sergei Rachmaninoff's first piano concerto. We heard the first movement yesterday, and today we'll be listening to the second and third movements. Now, we talked yesterday about the fact that Rachmaninoff wrote this as a student in 1891, but he then left it aside for a while until heavily revising it in 1917. And I don't usually like to throw dates around. They don't necessarily tell you a lot. They can make everything seem like high school history class. But 1917 is a very important year for a Russian composer, for every Russian in general, because that's the year of revolution. The Tsar was overthrown in February. By November, the Bolsheviks were on their way to consolidating power, eventually forming the Soviet Union a few years later. And this was a huge change. Rachmaninoff was like a lot of Russians. He wasn't quite sure how to feel. He did play some charity concerts for soldiers returning from World War I. That was also going on at the time. And newly released political prisoners after the revolution. But he also spent a lot of time revising his first piano concerto. And he'd been thinking about doing this for at least 10 years, since he liked the music, but he wasn't really satisfied with it. With all that fighting and unrest around him, it seems like Rachmaninoff thought, now is a good time to stay inside, focus on this project, rather than getting swept up in everything else. Eventually, he couldn't hide from what was going on around him, and when he was offered a few concerts in Sweden and Denmark, even for not a lot of money, he jumped at the chance to get out. His family was wealthy. He was a member of the bourgeoisie, which is not a good thing to be in the middle of a communist takeover. So he got travel papers in order, and he fled with his family. And at this point, his estate had been seized. His money was worthless, thanks to the economy tanking. He couldn't even get a train out of the country. Him and his family ended up in the back of an open sled crossing the border to Finland with a few of his notebooks and scores and very little else. This concerto did not make that trip. Before leaving, he left it with a friend who was a conductor so that it could be published. He needed all the money that he could get, and for the next few years, he focused on performing on the piano, which was much more lucrative than composing. Getting back to the music, the second movement, again, starts out with a brass instrument, but rather than that blasting fanfare we heard in the first movement, it's a soft horn solo. If the opening of the first movement is the alarm clock going off in the morning, this is the final call before everyone closes up and goes home to bed. The movement is soft and dreamy, never really approaching that bombastic first movement. But it's not an easy or laid-back movement either. There's plenty for the pianist to do. It's pretty busy, even as the strings play slow melodies above it. And then the fireworks are back in the final movement. It opens with this kind of disjointed, frenetic back and forth between the orchestra and the piano. And this movement has the feeling of the whole piece in a nutshell, because it has that big, fast opening, and then a softer, slower middle theme dominates, just like the middle movement of the piece. But then that's done, and it's right back into the intense energy of the beginning, and it keeps up that frenzied pace right through to the end. Here's Neil O'Donne and the University of Washington Symphony Orchestra with the second and third movements of Rachmaninoff's first piano concerto.
Thank you.
huge contrast between those two movements. And that's kind of what people are talking about if they say that this is an immature piece. The young Rachmaninoff had all these great ideas, but the connections and the transitions between them maybe aren't as well worked out, which is something that the more mature Rachmaninoff had to smooth over a little bit as he was revising this in 1917. Thanks to Neil O'Donne and the University of Washington Symphony Orchestra for putting that up on museopen.org. And thank you for listening. If you have the chance, please rate and review this on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is that you're getting this podcast. It would help out a lot. I'm Tyler Alderson, and next week for your classical break, we're going to be traveling all over Europe, to France, to England, to the Czech Republic, and we'll start it off in Italy with another piano virtuoso who is active around the same time as Rachmaninoff, Ferruccio Busoni, and his Fantasia on J.S. Bach. We'll see you then.